The word of God to which we are directed this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dr. Martin Luther wrote, "Thank God, a seven-year-old child knows what the church is, holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd." Luther wrote those words in opposition to those who could think of the church mainly in terms of its organization, its power and politics, and its authority structure and its constitution, to say nothing of bricks and mortar or of wood and nails. In fact, many theologians of the church still shake their heads in amazement over how smart a seven-year-old child can be. The words of Christ, of course, in the words of Christ himself, the church is the subject of faith. It's the object of faith, and it's not known to sight. Now, Luther had in mind the words of our Lord, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In the old pastoral settings, we are told, a shepherd had a little flock that was with him all the time, and those sheep knew the voice of the shepherd in such a way that they would follow no one else. And if several flocks were mingled, one shepherd could call his sheep, and they would separate from the larger mass and come to him because they knew his voice. Now, what is it about the voice of our good shepherd that the sheep know? Well, it's a comforting, soothing voice which speaks confidently and certainly. It's not the voice of threat and anger and domination. It's a voice offering comfort and safety. And it's the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Jesus speaks to his sheep in the voice of the gospel. Before the comforting voice of the gospel, of course, there is law. That is the law of an angry God who says, "All of you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation." That voice evokes fear and terror, and it must because it speaks the truth. It's the voice of the holy God, angry over sin. But it is not the voice of the calming shepherd. The voice of the law is as a foreign language to the shepherd, and it calls us the sheep who have gone astray, going each to his own way. But to those who have gone astray, the voice of the shepherd comes. I was bruised for your iniquity. The punishment for your peace was laid on me. By the stripes from the whip on my back, you are healed. The Lord has laid on me the iniquity of all of you. Before God, I am your righteousness. And where do we hear the voice of this good shepherd? We hear it simply in the preaching of the gospel, when God's word is read and studied, when it is proclaimed from the pulpit, when it's poured on the head in the washing of regeneration, when it's laid on the head in the voice of absolution, I forgive you your sins, and when it's placed in your mouth as the body and blood in the Lord's Supper. The Good Shepherd has that one simple message with the most profound meaning and with the most far-reaching, that is, eternal consequences for you. Your sins are forgiven. It's been a great blessing to hear the voice of this Good Shepherd here in this chapel of Bethany Lutheran College. And this is the message which has been proclaimed here for over 100 years as a Christian school. Some have heard that voice preached here for as much as half a century, a little over that for me. For others, it's been for quite a few years. For some of you, it's been for 2 or 3 or 4 years. For some, it has just been 1 year. But it's the same voice that all of us have heard since childhood at home and in our congregations. For some, it's been heard here only for the first time. But the blessing is the same for each one of us. It's the glorious promise given by our Good Shepherd. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Apostle Paul, as we know well, heard the voice of that Good Shepherd, and he expressed this great certainty: I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Having heard the voice of your Good Shepherd, who knows you individually, who knows every hair on your head, continue to hear it and treasure it and remember it, and continue in that certain hope and comfort that he has given you. To him alone be the glory. Amen. We rise for prayer. Today we continue our prayers for Ruth Weber and her family as she has been undergoing tests to see how well her chemotherapy treatments have been working. We unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, In your mercy, you have called us to be members of the flock of your Son, our Good Shepherd. We humbly pray that your hand of blessing would rest upon your servant, Ruth Weber, and her family. Provide her physicians with the knowledge and ability to properly treat her condition, that she may be restored to improved health according to your will. Through your word and sacrament, strengthen her trust in your firm promises, and continue to bless this young family with the protection of your holy angels. We ask this through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has laid down his life on our behalf. Amen.